Let me ask you to open your Bible, if you have one, at the New Testament letter of Philippians and chapter 2. I'm going to begin by reading a few verses from Philippians chapter 2. If you're using a church Bible, the page number is 1682. Our theme this evening is the subject of meekness. Let's just read these words about the Lord Jesus. Philippians 2 at verse 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Well, we're drawing almost to the end now of our little series through Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, where the apostle speaks of the fruit that the Spirit of God brings to bear in the life of every believer. I just want to remind you that a few weeks ago I mentioned that depending upon the translation or version of the Bible that you read, you might find some slight differences in the words that are used in those two verses. In some of the more modern translations, the fifth of these virtues or graces is usually translated as kindness, and the eighth of them is usually found as gentleness. If you were to go back into the old authorized version, or if you were to read the American Standard Version, you'd actually find that instead of kindness and gentleness at those two points, they use the words gentleness and then later on meekness. And having looked at these words and the verses, I actually find that those older translations actually give a better balance to the things that Paul was saying. And so we looked at gentleness a few weeks ago, and today our title is meekness, even though some of you have as the eighth in the Bible in front of you the word gentleness. We're going to use the word meekness. Some of you will find that in your Bible, if it has the word gentleness, it actually has a little note alongside in the references and mentions the word meekness there as a good alternative. It certainly does in the church version of the Bible that we have here. So our theme is meekness, one of the most misunderstood virtues. I want you to imagine a great big Shire horse, and it's calmly and steadily and contentedly hauling a massive load. And it is sensitive to the most gentle input from the reins to be turned either to the right or to the left. It doesn't put up a fight. There's no argument. There's no resentment. There's no resistance. Just a humble submission to use all of its strength as another requires of it. To use all of its strength as another asks of it. It's not being coerced or forced in any way. It's not under any stress. It's not under any duress. It's just a humble submission to use all of its strength as another asks of it. That is meekness. That is meekness. It's often been said, but it remains true, that a lot of people mistake meekness for weakness. Meekness is not being soft. Meekness is not always backing down. Meekness is not about never standing up for your convictions. That is not what meekness means. It's not about being ready to compromise on everything. And it's not about being a wet, fawning, bowing and scraping wimp of a Christian. That's not what meekness is. Meekness is about living your life willingly, gladly, under the authority of another, and living your life for that other. The 20th century Bible teacher A.W. Tozer defined meekness like this. He says, meekness is about having a spirit which says, I am nothing, God is everything. That was his definition of meekness. That you can say in your heart, I am nothing, God is everything. The problem is that we find it a bit more palatable to rephrase it. I am considerable, God is a bonus. I am quite considerable. And having God in my life, well, that's just a bonus. That just makes it a bit better. I got to think about that. I wonder which of those two positions best sums up you and me. Which of these two positions do our lives best reflect? Do people look at us and see in us, I am nothing, God is everything? Or do they see in us, I'm considerable, God is just a bonus? In the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks about meekness. And he puts the Beatitudes in this order. First of all, being poor in spirit. That means to make yourself nothing before God. Second, mourning. Mourning with a U in it. Grieving. In other words, mourning over your sin. And thirdly, meekness, which is to say, from now on, I am nothing and God is everything. So it's to just completely humble and prostrate yourself before God and to say, I'm nothing in your presence. And I'm so aware of my sin. And from now on, although I am nothing, you are going to be everything. That's meekness. Now, in the Bible, meekness shows itself in a variety of ways and circumstances. And if we imagine meekness as nothing more than being quiet and doing gentle things, I think we've actually missed some of the point. I've been thinking a lot about this issue of meekness and what its proper definition is and what its proper outworking is. I'm going to put it to you this evening that some of the things that we read in the Bible that we don't actually imagine might involve meekness do involve meekness. You might want to take issue with some of these things with me at the end, maybe. But I think you might be surprised. With the children in the morning, we've been thinking about the story of Abraham. Now, for Abraham, in being prepared to up sticks and follow God wherever God would lead, is not just an issue of faith. It also requires meekness. Abraham was ready to abandon everything and follow God's lead. Abraham was prepared not just to say, I am nothing, but God is everything, but to actually show that he meant it by doing something about it. Sometimes our problem with obedience as believers actually isn't an issue of our faith. The problem might be we're not prepared to be meek. Is there ground in our lives that we refuse to yield or let go of? Meekness might play a big part in that. When Joseph was faced with the temptation that came from the advances that were made towards him by Potiphar's wife in Egypt, and when he was presented with an opportunity to get revenge on his wicked brothers who'd had him thrown into that pit and then sold into slavery, he was able in those circumstances to do that which was right. And that's a measure of Joseph's meekness. Here's a man who's been horribly, horribly wronged with an opportunity to get his own back. But he doesn't. Because he knows that is not how my Heavenly Father expects or desires me to behave. And God would have me behave in another way. He did not do what his natural flesh might want to do, but he was obedient to God. I want to put it to you that that is meekness. Young David, little teenager compared to Goliath, and out he strides across the valley floor to the amazement of his own camp and to the laughter of Goliath. Now, when we talk about David going out to face Goliath, we tend only to think about words such as faith and trust. Now, David did have faith in God, and David did have trust in God. But you see, it's the quality of meekness that enables a man like David to take no heed for his own safety or even his own life and walk out across the valley floor. Because for David, this was true. I am nothing in this situation. God is everything. The whole thing about David with Goliath was that they're making fun of the name of the God of Israel. They're dragging the name of the God of Israel down into the dirt, and we can't have that. And there is a meekness in David. I am nothing in this situation. God is everything. We don't often think of David slaying Goliath as an example of meekness. I want to suggest to you that actually it is. Why? Well, think about all the battle-hardened soldiers who are cowering in fear back in the Israelite camp. What made the difference in this young lad? It was a humble submission to use all of his strength as God required of him. And out he went. Years later, many years later, David was confronted with several opportunities to do away with the man who was trying to take his life. The man who then was king of Israel, Saul. And David refused to do anything, not even to lay a finger on the man. Even though his own entourage were encouraging him, David, just do away with the guy and all your problems are gone. And he refused to touch Saul. And for what reason? Because David recognized at that time Saul was still the king, the one that God had put on the throne of Israel. And David submitted to that. He put aside all of his personal feelings and he just submitted to God. And that is meekness. To be able to just submit yourself to God like that. And to say again, all those years later, guys, I'm nothing. God is everything. That is meekness. When God permitted Satan to strip everything away from Job, he lost all. But Job refused to blame God. He refused to walk out on God. And Job could still say, I know that my Redeemer lives. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Friends, that is meekness. Yes, these horrendous things have happened to me, but I'm nothing. God is everything. What we see in Job is meekness. And we could go on and on through the Old Testament scriptures. What of Joshua and Gideon and Moses and all the rest? These people, when we look at them in the scripture, they did not lead lives which came over as them saying, I am considerable, and having God as a bonus. Their lives breathed, I am nothing, but God is everything. When we get into the New Testament, the Apostle Paul talks about various things connected with his own ministry as an apostle. And one of the things that he brings to our attention at one point is that he decides to forego certain things which he had a legitimate claim over. As a full-time minister of Christ, he could have expected that the churches that he's establishing would support him financially, and that he would never have to make another tent in his life. But he chose not to even mention those things to those new churches, and instead he supported himself. Because he didn't want to be misunderstood, he didn't want to be misrepresented, he didn't want people to somehow think that he was exploiting these people and doing what he did for personal gain. He knew that such a reputation could have ruined what he was trying to achieve. And so even though legitimately he could have claimed for them to support him in his livelihood, he chose to forego that rightful claim. He was ready to go without something that he had a legitimate claim over for the sake of the gospel. He would say, counting all things loss and as rubbish for the excellence of knowing and gaining Christ. Friends, that is meekness. If you want to know what meekness is about, look at the life of Paul. There was a meek man. And of course, the ultimate example of meekness is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read from Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8, and it says there that Jesus humbled himself, and we understand about humility. Some versions of the Bible, they break up Philippians chapter 2 into a number of sections, and humility is in the title of each little paragraph. We understand this issue of Christ humbling himself. But it says, and became obedient. Now, I want to suggest to you that it's in his becoming obedient that the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrates meekness. Humility, primarily, is an attitude of heart, and an attitude of mind. Meekness, as we've seen in the examples we've been looking at, is about what we actually do and how we actually live. Meekness is much more than an attitude. Meekness is about what we actually do. Meekness is an active thing. It's not a passive thing. I think some of us think meekness is it's just about sitting back and being nice and cozy and cushy and like a little ball of cotton wool that won't offend anybody. That's not what meekness is. Meekness is about actively living your life under the control and authority of God for Him. That's meekness. All these Bible characters we've been thinking about, they actually went out and they did certain things. They performed certain actions, or they refrained from doing things that naturally they might want to do. They demonstrate meekness. And Jesus humbled Himself. But that humility was put into action. Jesus didn't just feel humble, but stay in heaven. He became obedient. And He moved in a certain way, and He did certain things. He displayed meekness as He submitted His will to the will of His Heavenly Father and was obedient to all that the Father wanted Him to do. And we read there in Philippians, didn't we, that He was obedient even to the death of the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ is meekness personified. Because as we said right at the start with the picture of that huge Shire horse, meekness is about using all your strength for another. Meekness is about using all that you are for another. Meekness is about using all that you have for another, under their direction and for their goals. Meekness. Now, we've been talking in this series, we've got one more to do next week, God willing, about these glorious virtues and graces that the Holy Spirit brings to bear in the life of the Lord's people. I think we can see that in meekness, we have a virtue that is totally unnatural in terms of sinful men and women. It's simply not in us to be like this. It's not in us to think this way. It's the work of God's Spirit who convinces us of our position before God and of God's worth in all that we seek to do. This is a wonderful grace and virtue that God produces in the lives of His people by the work of His Holy Spirit. It's one of the things that marks us out as Christian men and women. It's one of the distinguishing marks of having turned your back on all the sinful things that are in those earlier verses, 17 different items mentioned there, that are typical of those who are living in a lost and fallen world and who have no regard for God or His word whatsoever and are only concerned with themselves and just all tied up in themselves. And all of that changes when we come to Christ. All of that changes when His Spirit floods within us and something of the nature and character of God Himself comes flowing into the life of the Christian. And so these graces and virtues, they're not things that we go home and beat ourselves up over saying, "Oh Lord, I'll never be like this." We say, "God, this is the person You want me to be. This is the person You are making me to be by Your Spirit. Do it more. Help me to see it. Help me to know it. Help me to understand it. Help me to go out tomorrow morning and be this person You want me to be. And I'm trusting You that as I live day by day, Because your power is at work in me mightily. I'm trusting that people will actually see these things growing and developing. And we ought to be praying these things for one another very earnestly as well as the people of God. I'm going to close with the words of a hymn. Amongst Reformed Baptists over the last few decades, the hymn writer Graham Kendrick, it has to be said, hasn't always received the best of press, but he has written some very, very good hymns. And one that he's written is all about the meekness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not the hymn that some of you are thinking of right now. I had the musicians worried for a second, I think, then. Graham Kendrick wrote these words. From heaven you came, helpless babe. That's meekness, you see. Entered our world, your glory veiled, not to be served, but to serve. That's meekness, you see. And give your life that we might live. There in the garden of tears, my heavy load he chose to bear. That's meekness. His heart with sorrow was torn, yet not my will but yours, he said. That's meekness. Come see his hands and his feet, the scars that speak of sacrifice, hands that flung stars into space to cruel nails surrendered. That's meekness. So let us learn how to serve. And in our lives, enthrone him. Put God on the throne of your life. That means, you say, I am nothing. God is everything. That is meekness. For it is Christ we're serving.